Thank you, Grace, for that prelude. So good morning and welcome to each of you on this brand new morning. A few days ago, I got an invitation from one of my sisters to come for a visit. So the weather was going to be quite beautiful, and the sun was shining, and the fall colors I knew would be wonderful, and it would include a trek into the mountains. So I said yes, and I spent a few days taking in and savoring the various glorious colors of fall. So we took some pictures, but there is really nothing like being somewhere. I am and was so grateful for all of my senses, so that I could experience the beauty of the world in which we live. Being in the forest, walking on the paths, my feet on the ground, sitting and watching the sun glistening on the water, and observing the perfect reflection of the mountains and trees on the water was truly amazing, but also really grounding and refreshing. With all that's going on in the world, it was good to pause and witness something very good. I really hope that you have taken time to savor the beauty of the world around you with our extended fall and the colors. It is really a feast for the eyes. This is a new morning. This is a day that we've never had before. This is the one and only time we will meet in this way with exactly these people around us and hear what we will hear. This morning is a unique experience and could be full of possibilities, if you choose. It could be full of hope, if you choose to look for it. It could be full of inspiration, if you choose to see it. There could be a gem, something that requires you to take note and see in a little different way, and something to take with you during the week that is just what you need. This is a new morning, and I invite you to see the beauty of it. Welcome. Please join me with the call to worship as it is printed in your bulletins this morning. We long for wholeness.
We hope for joy.
Sometimes, however, both seem to elude us.
The deserts appear to be expanding.
And our journey feels at times lost in the wastelands. And rekindle or renew our hope that things will indeed come to completion, to wholeness, to flower.
This morning, we come with our personal aims and goals,
some of which we share with others.
And some we partner with the courage to mention to God.
But God, who made us, knows us through and through.
And God, who knows us, loves us, and desires our wholeness.
Let us be silent, then, and let us pray. Let listen and speak with God who is with us. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this new day and for the opportunities that it will bring. This world has so much beauty, and we have opportunities each day to be witness to that. On this new day, help us to recognize when we are nudged to serve. Recognize when it's time to participate. Recognize the thoughts to call someone. Recognize and act on a desire to create something new. With each of these things, we are bringing beauty into this world, each in our own way. In this time we have together this morning, may the Holy Spirit weave in and through our thoughts, like invisible wisps. And may the Holy Spirit weave into the spaces that physically separate us here as we gather in this way. May the breath of the Holy Spirit infuse us with newness and hope and peace. In your name together we pray. Amen. We're going to do a little bit more singing, so I'm going to invite you to take your blue book once more and to song number 91, Praise to God, Immortal Praise. Please stand if you're able. In Sing the Journey, we'll sing number 88, Alleluia, we sing your praises.
Thank you. Let me add my good morning and my welcome here to all of you, not only the ones that are sitting here in front of me and beside me, but also to all of those who are listening at home, recognizing that our services are being recorded and they'll be put on a CD, but they will also be later on posted to the webpage. So after the fact, some people will be listening to what we are in person producing here. So far, this is our system, and we hope it works. And if it doesn't, and what does working look like? We're not sure, but we're trying our best. So I would like to express welcome and a reminder that those who are simply listening, not watching as we are, but listening to this recording, you are also remembered and very welcome. And most of them, I think, feel a certain degree of regret or sadness at not being able to be here together with the rest of us. So we recognize that and we appreciate those feelings. This is time for our congregational prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for speaking your word into our lives and for your Holy Spirit that continues to commune with us, to share your heart with us. Who knows the heart of God except the Spirit of God? We as humans, as mortals, we have no idea. And we are so far from you and from your holiness. And yet, by your grace, you draw us to yourself. In very unique ways, because we're all so different, and we hear you speaking into our lives very differently. This is amazing to us, and we're joyful and thankful for it. But we also, at the same time, express regret because sometimes we can't hear you. Why is that? Is it because our ears have been stopped up by hearing so many other things? Is it the cold heart? Is it the unconfessed sin? Or are you simply silent? We don't know, but that experience is awful. And we pound on the gates of heaven and say, speak to us, because life without your voice is not life at all. So we pray for those who are experiencing that time of silence, that time of wilderness wandering, wondering where on earth you are. And we plead for them. Give them patience and courage as they wait. Give them certainty of your presence, whether hearing or not hearing, feeling or not feeling, you are present in all places, at all times. Thank you for the beauty of nature that we have already started talking about and singing about and thinking about, even some of us wondering, how soon can we get out of here and experience it again? The bright, warm sunshine and those beautiful leaves, the breath of wind, so many different things, all displaying your glory. Keep reminding us of that, turning our eyes, turning our minds, turning our thoughts always from what we see and experience back to you, connecting our life with you. We pray for all who are suffering from COVID in its various degrees, and we pray not so many of our friends and relatives who do not see as important the guidelines that we have been asked to follow. We pray that you would help us not to judge others, but also to encourage them and ourselves to just keep on keeping on with good practices. And we pray for safety from this virus, Thank you that our numbers in this province have not been too high. And yet, even one with COVID, even one death, is too high. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, not only from this disease, but from so many. We pray for the healing of this body of Zion Mennonite. We have lost members, and we feel that pain. And we know that you feel it together with us. We pray for the other churches, not only in Swift Current, as we pray for Bridgeway Community Church. We also pray for Eyebrow and Sharon as she pastors. She pastors not only the church, but also the community. Help us to remember that we all are pastors of our community, whatever that is, our neighbors, our friends, the people that we happen to meet, or the people that we meet every day. Speak to us that we may be channels of your peace, your love, your faithfulness to them. We pray for the upcoming elections, and we pray for the leadership, not only of our church, but also the leadership of our country and all countries. Because on this World Communion Sunday, we ask that you would remind us the entire world belongs to you, and we need have that concern for the world that you do. So we pray for the leaders of the entire world, and we pray for all of those, some of whom are suffering under the leadership that they experience, for stolen authority, and for those who are duly elected and yet not caring for their people. All of these things we bring to you, and we pray for them, along with all of our grumblings against injustice. We bring them to you, because that is what we do. We have brought ourselves, and we bring all of these issues and so many more that are on our minds and on our hearts. We simply bring them to you, knowing you're listening, knowing that you do care to act on our behalf. And so we join our voices with one voice, praying like the disciples prayed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Turn with me in your hymnal worship book to number 460. Remember to put on your masks, and if you'd like to, you can stand to sing. We're only going to sing the first verse, 460. Really, that song we should have sung all four verses, because it's all one whole of a message, and it introduces our theme for this morning. And it sounded like you all knew it. I was unfamiliar with it, but the sound of it and the words just really blend together very well. Maybe another day. Maybe on November 8th when we are having communion ourselves. So some of you maybe are wondering, and I'll just address this, why on earth do we have the wine and the bread right here if we are not participating today? Two reasons. One being that it's World Communion Sunday, and there are many churches around the world, not only our denomination, but many different denominations, who are marking this as Communion Sunday. And many times in the past, we also have joined in that and have practiced communion on this first Sunday in October. You might ask, how do you remember that? Not because I have such a good memory, but because 4 years ago, on the very first Sunday in October, we were having communion. And we, my husband and I, had just the night before moved into our new apartment, starting moving at 10:30 at night. We completed our move at about 2:30 or 3 that morning, and the whole time it was in my mind, I have to get up early tomorrow morning, we're having communion! That's not something you forget. It all worked out just fine, and that was the beginning of October. As Joy mentioned, the spiritual care group thought it would not be prudent for us to spring on you the fact that we are going to have communion today. You need to have some time to consider yourselves, check things, and also to be sure that you are here. Some people might feel like, oh, I would have gone if I'd have known there was going to be communion. We haven't had communion together since March 1st of this year. It's quite a while. So there's also something to look forward to. The second reason that we do have it here is for us to be constantly reminded that this is what we have received. This is the ritual, this is the practice that we have received as the body of Christ. That will make more sense, hopefully, as I get into the message. But let's begin with scripture reading. I'm going to read not both of those passages, but I will read from Psalm 19. I heard the noise start and I thought, oh, wonderful, everybody is grabbing their Bibles and shuffling around. It's just the furnace. Oh, great sadness and disappointment. I will also not read the entire Psalm 19. There are 14 verses. I want to start with verse 4b and then continue through verse 10. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun. This is God that we're speaking of. He set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. Like a strong man runs its course with joy. Can you see that picture? You know what I see? Pardon me. I see Jimmy Dean sausages. And on those commercials, they have a little cartoon sun with little legs, and he's running. And I think it's hilarious. And I see this, the sun is running its course with his little legs, and he's running all the way across the sky until he has finished his race. Okay, it's just me because no one else is even smirking. Maybe you haven't seen the commercial. Okay, but there it is. The strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold or a big fat bank account. Even much fine gold or really good investments. Sweeter also than honey, even the honey, sweeter than that honey and drippings of the honeycomb. I'm going to stop there for the moment. Some of you will be so intrigued you continue to read Psalm 9. Reading the Bible is better than not reading the Bible. Wouldn't you all say? Wouldn't we all say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, I think so. And for those of you who don't like to say amen, I forgive you for that. It's fine. Whatever you respond, however you feel inspired to participate, it's your choice. And I hope you do feel the freedom to respond the way that you are urged to respond. That we don't all have to be conformed into one image of Zion Mennonite. You can be who you are. It should be a freeing thing, not a confining thing. And the reason that I'm sort of emphasizing this is because in World Communion Sunday, thinking about the entire world, there are many people here who are very different than we are around the world, and they have different practices. And unfortunately, I am not very good at techie stuff. And so the three videos that I would have loved for us to be watching right now, instead of listening to me, I didn't put that all together. You'll have to trust me that there are three videos out there. One is from China, from George and Tobia Veith, and they are describing the work that they do at the university in China. The second video is from a Presbyterian church, and there are youth in that video just saying how they are encouraging their neighbors in the time of COVID. Different youth, teenagers mostly, who are saying, oh, I have a neighbor who is 96, and I go and I bring them stuff from our garden. Or I say hi to the people in our church. Or different, very simple things like that. But they're all youth saying, this is how I am helping others through the COVID time. And the third one, not in any particular order, is a Pentecostal church in Chile. And they are celebrating this World Communion Sunday. All of them very interesting videos. And they give a broader view of what worldwide church can be, or actually is. And I think sometimes a picture actually impacts us more and for a longer amount of time than words. Anyone who's a teacher can recognize that. You're trying to pound this into the students, and all they can remember is a wrinkle in your blouse that you're wearing through that class. They don't hear anything. They're just, what did they see? This morning, I want to talk about all of us being renters. We all, not only here, but around the world, we are all renting. With that in mind, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. For the last month of Sundays. That used to be a phrase we used all the time. It was a very long time, a month of Sundays. But really, literally, for a month, or at least throughout the late summer, we have been talking about worldwide issues. For four Sundays, we were talking about reconciliation. Reconciliation with others, with our neighbor, with the entire world, the environment, all of those things. The big picture. And then on September 20th, we had International Peace Sunday, which was considering peace for everyone around the world and not only we ourselves. Now, here we are, beginning of October, and what are we looking at? Again, the international aspect? Again, the whole worldwide thing? You start to wonder, is God trying to hammer home a lesson that we're not getting? Is there something there that we're just not clicking into? Now, I see Val over here, and I think, no, we are. We're in the right zone because we've just finished donating a whole pile of money and effort and creativity to MCC. Val reminded me because she was the one that started it or got the ball rolling, and we all jumped on and said, yes, this is what we want to do. We love to support MCC, so obviously we are international-minded. I think maybe there's still something that we are not getting. And I'm not here to point fingers and say, you are not getting it. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that needs to get something. But here it is, again. World Communion Sunday. And it used to be called Worldwide Communion Sunday. And of course, then I thought, oh, WW. Everybody knows WWW, right? www dot blah blah blah, that's computer talk. Everything is www. What about WWE? Nobody wants to admit they know what WWE is. I know Joel does. I can see him smirking from here. What is it? Yeah, wrestling. What's WWF? Yeah, wildlife. I heard that commercial the other day. I won't go on with any more WWs, but there are some. We know about WW. Everything is worldwide these days. So why not the church? Why not communion? Why not talk about it right here in our small group? Worldwide Communion Sunday. And we begin with Psalm 19. That's the wrong text. Okay, from Psalm 19, those of you who are writing things down or putting it in your memo on your phone, add Matthew 21 that's listed here. Matthew 21, verse 33 to 46. And put those two texts together. I have noticed that when I bring all sorts of odd texts and put them together, suddenly a new picture comes out. It's like mixing paint. I don't know, because I don't mix paint. But you take different colors of paint, you put it together, and you get a completely different color. You put these two different texts together, and you get a completely different message. It's so interesting. So before we turn to Matthew, I want to read the next verse of the Psalm 19, where I stopped. All of these nice, oh, the law of the Lord is perfect. The decrees of the Lord are great. The precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. Oh, we breathe it in. It oozes out of us and we say, yes, amen. Preach it, sister. Oh, yes, that is it. And then we look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Verse 12, but, after all that greatness, that wonderful, encouraging message, but who can detect their errors? Stop there. But who can detect their errors? After all of that, I've got the ordinances, the commands, I've been revived of soul, I am sure, I am wise, I'm all of these things, and then, but who can detect their errors? Connect that together with me to Matthew 21. Go ahead, flip. Matthew 21, there's a little parable that Jesus talks about, verses 33 to 46. He tells them a story. Listen to another parable. There's a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower, and then he leased it to the tenants and went to another country. Here we are. Here's where we're renters. We're not the owners, we're not the keepers of the Lord's ordinances and the Lord's commandments or even the Lord's table. We all together come as renters, as potential tenants. The landlord is God himself. God bringing us this ordinance, but also bringing us the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven has been given to you." I skipped over the whole story. Look at verse 43. Therefore, this is Jesus at the end of this terrible story because they didn't want to do something. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. We're just the receivers, the recipients. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to somebody else, given to a people. What's the qualifier? The people that produce the fruit of the kingdom. Here we are in Thanksgiving season. We're all about produce. Everybody's digging out their gardens. I got two tiny little bags this week, one with tiny little tomatoes and another one with carrots. We know about producing things, producing flowers, all sorts of things. Are we producing the fruit of the kingdom? That's the qualifier. This terrible story where Jesus said, this is what happened. This landlord put everything in place, so many different possibilities for working together here. And then he went away and allowed them to do their job. Go ahead, feel free. Work away. Whatever suits you, whatever you're good at, do it with fervor. And then when the servants were sent to get the produce and they killed the different servants, they said, no, we don't want them here. Don't come here looking for any produce. And he sent more servants and they killed them. And then the son came to receive the produce. That's the key. The son came to receive the produce. Sometimes we read this story and we think, oh yeah, we know who this is. Oh, it's very clear to us who this story is all about, because it's the Jews who received to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. So then the kingdom was given to the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? Oh, me, that's us. Woohoo, we're on the right side of it all. Go back to Psalm 19. But who can discern their errors? And even when we hear these stories, who can see themselves truly in error? Oh, it's very obvious when other people are in error. Big neon sign, error, error, error. I can see it a mile away. In fact, as we were praying the Lord's Prayer this morning, it struck me in the middle of that prayer that we first ask for forgiveness for ourselves. Our own forgiveness. Forgive us our sin. We can't discern our errors. We have been blessed with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, with the nurture of history in this building, in this community, this congregation, all of our background, and yet who can discern their errors? In this story, the Pharisees managed. They managed. The keepers of the law, the keepers of the kingdom, recognized Jesus was telling this story against them. They recognized it. Second, as we come to World Communion Sunday, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. 1 Corinthians is the passage for the Lord's Supper. Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I handed on to you." Paul didn't make it up. He didn't say, oh, I've got a great idea for how we can show this, how we can demonstrate this. It's what we, the worship team and the spiritual care team, were thinking about all the time. What can we use to demonstrate this truth so people will feel it and sense it and know it and remember it? This we didn't come up with. Paul said, "This is what I received from the Lord, so this is what I'm passing on to you." When Jesus took the bread and he took the wine and he said, "Take this and remember me." Look at verse 29. Let's start with 28. "Examine yourselves and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Only then, after you've examined yourself. "For all who eat and drink without discerning the body." Eat and drink judgment. Who can discern the body? Only we in the North American church who've had this tradition for so long, who actually take care of the bread and the wine more carefully than some other, possibly other denominations? Is it only the Mennonite church who can discern the body? And all of us say, no, of course not. Worldwide Communion Sunday. Are those churches where people gather and eat rice and maybe, I don't know, some native whatever kind of liquid and say, this is the body? Are they any less discerning of the body? Are they perhaps more discerning of the body? Who can discern their errors? Who can discern the body? Well, then we need help discerning the body. So the last point, we need to remind ourselves that we too are receivers. We are receivers just like everybody else, just like all of those tenants that the landlord said, here, work on this. We're simply tenants. We don't own anything. I have lots of stories about landlords, not only the landlords of our own little apartment building, but the landlords of the big, huge houses that surround our crappy little apartment building. And the fullness of self that they feel with the wonder and the beauty of their homes. I have to tell you this. The town has planted two new trees. You know the path, the walking path goes in front of our place. Wonderful. And they plant trees in different places. Wonderful. The town decided now in fall, we want to plant two more trees. Again, wonderful. One of my lovely neighbors in the beautiful, great, big, huge house that looks down from their height on our little crappy apartment building came to give direction to the town. No, not there. Move it over here. She went back to her deck, looked. Ah, yes. Now it's blocking that crappy apartment building from my sight. Perfectly positioned. Okay, now I have the freedom to do what I want to on my deck because she's not watching me. I don't know. But just the attitude, inner attitude of ownership. It's a crazy, crazy story, and shame on her and all of that. Who can discern their own errors? If that's what I see, I have to say, oh, I've got something of that in me. I've got that in me. I am a receiver. This is what Jesus gave to us. Discern the body given, broken. And what was that body that we're trying to discern? For those of you who like Handel's Messiah, Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected. Rejected of humans. That's what we receive. The one who was despised and rejected. But that's the one that all nations, Isaiah 52, verse 10, all the nations around all the earth will come to this one who was despised. And not only he himself in his physical being, but even when he came to his disciples, John chapter 6, and he's explaining, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread, not like the manna that your forefathers ate. I am the bread that came from heaven. Eat my body and drink my blood. Ooh, 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 put your hands on your ears. Don't say that. Don't say that. It's too gross. I can't stand to think about that. If you want to, check John chapter 6. Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, am I offending your ears? Am I offending you with this? Well, actually, he does say it. Are you offended by what I have said? But he says this phrase, eat my body, drink my blood, again and again. Start with verse 52 and read all the way through verse 65. I won't do that this morning. But he keeps repeating it. Eat my body, drink my blood. This is where life is. This is what I give to you. This is what we are receivers of. And the disciples complained. Like the tenants in the vineyard, they didn't like it. They didn't like the system, and they wanted to change it. We want to keep what we own, what we have worked on. And Jesus said, no, you can't do that. It's not yours. You are receivers. Short little football analogy for those of you who are missing football as much as I am. The receiver. Does the receiver dictate the play? Everybody knows no, of course. The receiver doesn't dictate the play. The receiver, what does the receiver do? The receiver keeps running. And you run according to how the quarterback has decided you're going to run. And that's where the ball is going to be. That's where I need you to be to receive what I am sending you. We need to be receivers. We're not all the coach. We're not all on the field saying, you, oh, come here, do this. No. With open hands, hopefully, and open hearts, we receive what the Lord has given us in the body and blood of Christ, in the communion together with all others around the world, in all of our differences. May we not be the landlords. Amen. I invite you to open your hymnal of worship book and sing with me only the first verse of number 485. This is an unfamiliar song, I think. But this is to be a reminder to us. We need to be taught that we are humans and we receive from our Maker. Please rise. Bow for the benediction. Peace be to the whole community, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who have an undying love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The sending song is number 311. Again, we are only singing the first verse.
You want them seated?
Not yet.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.